Thursday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Hopefully, everybody's having a fantastic day. Chris Meany here with you. Always appreciate you guys riding with me. I am riding solo here with you today, but a lot to talk about here on this show. I'm going to present an NFL mock draft. It's from Peter Schrager, of course, of NFL Network. He came out with 2.0. His 2.0 version of the NFL mock in round one. And I just want to address it with you guys because it's been a lot of just NHL, MLB, a little bit of basketball. And it's been a while since we've really talked football. And with the NFL draft 1 week away from today, I just wanted to present Peter's mock draft. I mean, I think we're going to do this next week. Jake Seeley doesn't officially know it yet. I'm going to join him on All in Football today, which you can check out on our FTN YouTube page. His show also live on Game Plus Network. I'm going to get him to jump on this show next week before the NFL draft. We're going to roll through a mock together. We may do it live. We may do it kind of behind the scenes and present it as if it's live to you with his thoughts and my thoughts. But, I mean, Peter's the professional, the absolute stud in the NFL industry. So I'm going to present his mock draft. I'm really just going to focus in on some of the skilled players. He's got a couple quarterbacks off the board in the first round, one running back, and six wide receivers. So I'm just going to really talk about the skilled players, and we'll dive into some of the other defensive players and whatnot, because I don't think we will see a quarterback until maybe six or seven. I do agree with what Peter has for maybe one running back in the first round and, you know, five to six wide receivers, maybe two to three quarterbacks for sure. So we'll get into that towards the end of the show. There are 11 games on the ice tonight in the NHL. So there's a lot of action. I got some shot props. I want to give some love to Alex Ovechkin, who scored his 50th last night and made NHL history. Shohei Ohtani made MLB history. So we're going to give some love to some of those guys. So we do have some NHL props and some picks. And yesterday, I think fairly good. We went 3-for-4 on the shot props. Pacioretty was stuck on 3. We did have Shea Theodore on the bet tracker, who had a beautiful overtime winner last night. The Golden Knights are still alive. So he did get 3 shots at plus money. And then the picks, I felt like a sucker last night betting on Colorado and giving you guys the Avs on the puck line against the Seattle Kraken. And they went into Seattle and lost that game. They had the return of Nazem Kadri. Mikko Rantanen didn't play. And former Avs goalie Philip Grubauer played pretty strong. But I watched most of that game and Colorado was just kind of going through the motions. I think if you ask an average Avs fan or diehard Avs fan, they would tell you that's probably one of the worst games that they played all year long. So I'm the sucker for giving you guys that puck line bet and they just straight up lost. But we did have Vegas in the over and we did have the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars going over as well. So it wasn't an awful day, but we'll look to maybe, you know, improve on the three for four, quick math, 6-for-8. I'm off to a hot start here today. And NBA, 3 NBA playoff games to talk about today as well. So we got some props. And there's a lot of afternoon baseball action. So like I usually say to you guys, and you're watching here live on our FTN YouTube page, you know, smash a like button. You have any comments, any questions, absolutely ask them. Circle back before first pick. Tip off, puck drop, all that good stuff. But if you're watching on Game Plus Network, you know, at 2 Eastern or the replay at 5 Eastern, you know, a lot of these baseball games have already taken place, especially if you're watching the second replay. Yeah, you know, what good is it for me to tell you for one Eastern ball game? So there's only actually 3 or 4 from around 6:40 Eastern on. So I'm going to focus on those games with some picks and some props as well. I do want to give a little bit of love to one of our FTN daily subs yesterday, had a pretty strong day. Take a look at this. He took down 10K last night. Connor McTakedown. I think it's Chucklesby. Chucklesby is what we'll go with. Super sharp, super sharp. He has a daily package with us, FTN Gold. And what's included in FTN Gold? A lot of the sports. He's a big esports guy. So he has had some success with some of our esports content over at ftndaily.com, and also included in there is the NHL package. So you see, he called it the chalk of the night, but you know, there was only a handful of games in the NHL, and our guy Javi Perlezzo wrote up the article. We have cheat sheets over at ftndaily.com across all the sports, just giving our exposures, our favorite plays and our favorite stacks. And of course, we have the Discord channel in there as well. And we'll be with you all the way until that Stanley Cup is raised. But you saw that he went with McDavid and Hyman. The top line in Edmonton had a pretty strong night against the Dallas Stars. Another really good outing from Mike Smith. Has been really strong now for three or four games in a row. He had the back-to-back shutouts a couple weeks ago, actually last week, and then the big W last night against Dallas, a huge win for the Edmonton Oilers. Not yet clinched, but oh so closer, and Dallas is on the second half of a back-to-back. They really do need that win with Vegas chasing them down. And then he also was in on the Chicago Blackhawks. I think we talked about Patrick Kane on this show at 3.5. I believe he had 9 shots last night, and he did score a goal. And then Alex DeBrincat, we talked about him, I believe, on this show as well, as a plus money play with our guy Am the Artist, who checked in when we were doing the NHL prop segment. And DeBrincat had a pretty solid night as well. So congratulations to Chuckley's. What is it? Chuckles. Here we go. Thank you, George. Got a lot going on here on my mind right now. Chuckles B, congratulations. Larson in there, who we did write up as a guy to block some shots. McCabe was a heavy Perlezzo call, and he found the back of the night. So back of the net. So congratulations. And that's not the first time. You know, 10K is a winner. Actually wanted to link up with him and share it on social last month. He had another big takedown as well. So he's been hot fire. Shout out to the MLB team as well. You know, myself and Kyle Murray were doing the MLB DFS live stream, and we talked a lot about Arizona. I know he in particular really loved the Diamondbacks, and they had 11 spot more on Arizona, but they put up 11 runs yesterday as well. So the DFS packages are hot over at ftndaily.com. Use a promo code NHL Meanie. Save yourself a little bit of cash. Dangle Bet Sully is live over at ftmbets.com. Like I said, we're going to dive into some of the NHL action tonight, but Eric Young and myself, we're rolled through all 11 games in the NHL, absolutely every single one. Gave a few plays in every single game from a DFS, a fantasy hockey standpoint. Also some picks in the props and calling goals. EY is back. He missed a few shows. He was overseas, but he's back and he's coming in hot with like a dozen goal scorers, and he's been hitting them at a pretty good pace. And Dangle Bet Sully is presented by pointsbet.ca. So you can find the link inside the description of the Dangle Bet Sully, which will bring you to pointsbet.ca. And of course, those in Ontario, which sports betting is legal now. A lot of great perks over at pointsbet.ca. Take advantage of it. I'm kind of jealous. I'm not in Ontario anymore. A lot of the books that are live now in Ontario, they have a lot of great sign-up bonuses. We have the scammy QR code there in the bottom of the screen. We also have a lot of links inside the description of this video. Caesars in Ontario, you know, BetMGM, bringing you to some of these books that are available in your area. Any questions, by all means, you guys can reach out at Chris Meanie on the Twitter machine. DMs are open. We'll take a quick break. We'll attack the MLB schedule first, but again, a lot to get to here on this show. Going to focus in on a couple late night games, really focus in on the Seattle Mariners and the Texas Rangers. So a couple MLB picks here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. Before we get into some MLB picks, I just wanted to give a bit of love to a couple players who were phenomenal last night. One of those guys was Shohei Ohtani. Again, just another unbelievable performance. I know you guys that know me really well, you know I follow this Halos team closely. It's been a rough ride over the past few years, but this year does feel a little bit different. Took 2 of 3 in Houston against the Astros, and they're atop the AL West. Stop the count now. Shohei Ohtani. Man, this guy, just watching last night, it's just phenomenal to watch him play, but he had the look in his eye last night. He was perfect through 5. He struck out 6 batters in a row. He was getting an Astros team that doesn't strike out. Remember Frank jumped on here yesterday? We talked about the Astros, you know, one of the teams that always leads the league in contact rate and in the bottom in terms of strikeouts in each of the last 4 seasons. And nobody struck out fewer than the Houston Astros. And I don't know, Jose Altuve in the lineup yesterday, but when Shohei started off the season against Jose, he had 3 punchouts in that game. But Ohtani tied a career high with 12K. He's a major league first yesterday. He batted twice before he threw the first pitch of the game. He started off the game with an out. He led off. And then the next time he came around, he had a 2 RBI double. He scored a run. He finished with 2 hits, 2 RBIs, and a run. And just the performance with the pitching, my goodness, the slider was working for him last night. He had the 1 walk, 81 pitches, 55 strikes. There was a point in the game when he was, it was 1 strike, 3 balls. So a 3-1 count. And the dude threw a backdoor slider that started well off the plate, and it came right in, and it was a strike. And then it actually was the plate appearance with Jason Castro, who picked up his first hit of the season, by the way, to break up the no-no in the 6th on a full count. But he was really just mixing up his pitches. He hadn't thrown his slider in his first two starts all that much, but the slider was working for him, and he's just so fun to watch. He's just the fact that he's doing it on the mound and he's doing it again at the plate, it really is highly entertaining. Must watch TV for Shohei. And this is what we talked about at the start of the season. I mean, I don't know how he's not the MVP doing both like that. It's wild. I don't know if he set a precedent last year or not. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But Shohei had a fantastic performance last night against the Astros. Brendan Woodruff was just as good last night as well. Of course, he didn't bat, but he still had 9K through six innings and also gave up one run and shut out the Pirates yesterday. And then Dalton Varsho. I brought up Varsho because I do believe it was DJ Betts who was in the house and was asking a question that I didn't really get to. It slipped my mind, DJ, so my apologies there. I think you asked about Varsho if you should hold on to him. He's an automatic hold. There's no question. He's got some pop in his bat. He's been hitting near the top of the order, catcher slash outfield eligibility. I don't think he's going to hurt you too much, right? I mean, at the catcher position, there's such a drop-off from those first couple guys that are amazing, like Salvador Perez and JT Realmuto. So I think, you know, for Varsho, it's got a little bit of pop, not going to kill you in terms of average, and, you know, he can help you out. And like I said, give a little bit of love to Kyle Murray last night in the MLB DFS stream, who liked Arizona quite a bit. We talked about them. Ketel Marte, Seth Beer, great last name, had three hits yesterday as well. So Arizona was rolling. And you know what? They're not going to be a great offensive team. We're going to pick on them in DFS more times than not. They're up near the top in terms of strikeout percentage, swinging strike percentage. They don't really have a whole lot to offer offensively or with their pitching staff. They're not going to be a really good ball team this season, but Varsho, I think, is a pretty solid candidate. So a couple MLB picks here for you tonight, and again, I'm just kind of focusing in on the late games for those that are catching, you know, the show a little bit later on. I like Ty France here for over 1.5 total bases. He is at plus money. He's got a matchup here against Taylor Hearn of the Texas Rangers. So just a couple things to note here for Hearn. Righty slashing 271, 335, and 446. Not alarming numbers, but righties, he is a lefty pitcher, and righties have gotten to him a little bit more this year and last year than left-handed bats. And so far in 7 2/3, he's allowed 14 hits and 4 runs. He's got an 81% contact rate so far. I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but the first thing I look at in DFS and attacking just hitter props is contact rates. Anything over 78% is a little high. Anything in the 80s is absolutely alarming. At the end of the year, we'll look at the top contact guys, and they'll be around 81%, 82. There'll probably only be 5 to 10 guys. I wanted to mix in 7 and 10. 5 to 7 to 10 guys that will be above 80%. And for Hearn, for his career, 79% contact rate, but so far, 81% contact rate. The 7 2/3 innings, 14 hits, 4 runs. And Ty France off to a pretty good start, 289 average on the year. Two total bases in four of his, he's got at least two total bases, excuse me, in four of his last five games. He's got three multi-hit games in his last four. Last year, he hit 311 against Southpaws. And so far, I mean, very small sample size this year, but the 300 average with this year and last year. So a little bit, you know, last year 311 average, this year hasn't really done a whole lot, but hasn't seen a lot of lefties. But last year was a great sample size for him, 20 extra base hits against Southpaws. So I'm going the over 1.5 total bases for Ty France for Seattle. And then C.S. Suzuki, what a start, right? I mean, he was the odds on favorite to win the NL Rookie of the Year. And you know, we can talk about him being kind of a seasoned vet, right? He's in the mid-20s. He's not like a true rookie, where a lot of young rookies are struggling so far to start the season. Bobby Witt, Julio Rodriguez, Pena last night. I've been giving him a lot of love for the Astros. He's looked good to start the season, but he was swinging and missing at all those Shohei nasty pitches last night. But for Seiya Suzuki, he's off to a really, really strong start. You can get plus 135 for over 1.5 total bases for him. 387 average to start the season. He's got four home runs. Imagine 40 home runs. Yeah, you just lock him up for Rookie of the Year. He's getting it anyways. Four home runs. He's going to see pitches from Bryce Wilson, 8 1/3 innings so far this season, 9 hits, 2 homers, only 4 strikeouts and 4 walks. He's got a 38% fly ball rate for his career, so Suzuki could go yard in this game, and an 86% contact rate for Wilson so far this season. Again, a very small sample size, but extremely alarming, and an 82% contact rate for his career. So really good spot for some of these Cubbies here today against Seiya Suzuki. Seattle Mariners in there as well as like a money line play here. I just want to get the live odds for you guys. Yeah, it's still the same. So minus 130. Some spots have it minus 135. I'm seeing PointsBet at minus 130 and Caesars at minus 130. Again, a shout out to PointsBet.ca for those north of the border that want to get involved here. You can do some risk-free bets, get your cash back if you lose. But I like Seattle. I really like this team. We talked with Tino at the start of the season about Seattle or LA, one of those two teams making a push, maybe not to get the division in the AL West, but to get into the playoffs. And I still feel pretty strong about both of those squads. We took the over 83.5 wins for both of those teams. So I like Seattle here, and I'm not sold on Texas. So far, Texas, what do they got? Two wins on the season. This isn't a team that's playing really good. Seattle's playing pretty good, 7-5. The Angels, 8-5 to start the season. Texas, 2-9 to start the season. They've lost five straight. They got a 296 team WOBA, which is in the bottom 10 overall. They do have some pop in their bat or in their lineup, especially near the top of the order. But Marco Gonzalez is a pitcher for, you know, Seattle that, you know, he's a better real life pitcher than a fantasy pitcher. He keeps the ball on the ground. He doesn't give up a lot of, you know, hard contact and not a lot of bombs. So I think this is a pretty good price for Seattle at home, minus 130. Just talked about the concerns that I have with Taylor Hearn on the bump for Texas. And then Seattle, this is a bit of a long shot play here. You see Seattle at plus money at plus 115. That's across the board. Again, use our free prop shop parlay calculator to get the best possible odds so you don't have to go surfing around. That's an amazing tool that I really, really like. Pablo Lopez is a pitcher that I do have a lot of respect for Miami. Off to a pretty good start, 1-0, a 0.87 ERA, 8 strikeouts. Jordan Hicks is, you know, he was out of the bullpen and now he's going to be starting. I don't know how long of a leash he's going to have here, but he is going to get the call for St. Louis as of right now. Looking, I don't know if anything has changed, but doing the research, looks like he's going to get the call. Lopez is, again, I do like the pitcher, especially at home when he pitches there, but St. Louis is a team that I really like them. I really like their offense. I like their lineup. You guys know how I feel about Tyler O'Neill, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Carlson. They've got some guys in this lineup that I really do like. So I think that they're the better team. The pitching edge certainly goes with Miami. They have a few decent bats in there as well. Like Jazz Chisholm shouldn't be hitting in the nine spot. Let's see if that's nonsense that continues. They do have some guys. We talked about Jesus Sanchez here, Jesus Aguilar. They do have some sneaky pop inside that lineup. But I can get St. Louis here plus money. I'm going to take it. I think they have the slightly better lineup. And I think that, you know, both bullpens probably decently the same. But I will lean with St. Louis as a plus money play here for you guys. So that's kind of it. Just a friendly reminder, set those fantasy baseball lineups because there's a ton of action. And that's usually the case on Thursdays. It's kind of maybe a getaway day for some teams, some travel before the weekend series begins for certain teams. But a lot of afternoon ball action. Check out ftnbets.com if you're looking for some more picks. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to give a little bit of love to Alex Ovechkin last night, who scored his 49th and his 50th goal of the season, becoming the third player, in NHL history to have 9 50-goal seasons. Let's talk about him, and we got some NHL props and picks here next. Keep her locked. Watch Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, also powered by FTN. If you're hanging out live on our FTN YouTube page, smash that like button. We are up to 84 units, I do believe, over at FTNbets.com. We are going to be with you until the Stanley Cup is raised. We'll be giving picks and plays. And of course, Dangle Betselli will be live until that Stanley Cup is raised as well. So hopefully we can finish here strong. If you are looking to be part of the FTN family, use that promo code NHL. All the picks, all the tools, Discord channels, you name it, across all the sports from everybody included in that package. I'm not lying. It is well worth your money. We have a lot of sharp people over at ftnbets.com. I'm not one of them. You know who is pretty sharp? Alex Ovechkin. Let's take a look at the three stars from last night. Alex Ovechkin could have had 4 or 5 goals last night. He had a breakaway. He had a couple breakaways. The first breakaway he had in the third period, he missed the net, and then he had another breakaway where he was just like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to take a slap shot. And he took a slap shot, and he scored his 50th. So he became the third player in NHL history to have 9 50-goal seasons. Wayne Gretzky, of course, on that list, and the late, great Mike Bossy, who we lost last week. And Mike Bossy had 9 in a row. The only player to do that. 9 seasons in a row with 50 goals. And that guy's season was cut short. I mean, it was clearly before my time. But I've seen the tape. I've seen the footage. I've seen how great of a goal scorer he was. And Mike Bossy talked himself about just all the vicious cross checks and how the game kind of turned. And those Islanders runs, like all those playoffs, like the 4 cups in a row. And then eventually Gretzky taking over for Bossy. And then the Oilers going on all those runs. But Ovechkin, I mean, I still think he can catch Gretzky. Those at Anthem Sports Entertainment probably don't remember that. I don't know who's in the house. Andrew Reid, Sean McCormick, Glenn McDonald. I don't know if you guys, Glennie Mack, or you guys are in the house, but I did a video probably 6 years ago with Luke. I did it with Luke. Shout out to Luke as well. I did a video, went back and forth about Ovi catching Gretzky, and he's getting older, but another season with 50 goals, this guy can still go. I think he's only missed 34 games in his NHL career. Surprisingly, he's been able to stay healthy considering the way that he plays. He throws his body around more than most people. He's always up at the top in terms of hits and shots. He plays in a lot of situations, not really killing penalties these days, but he lives on the power play, and that's kind of the thing. I remember Jerome Iginla when he lost a lot of foot speed and he went to the Kings towards the end of his career. He's still a guy that scored over 20 goals in the final year of his career, and a majority of them on the power play. You know, the Caps still have their core. Kuznetsov's locked up. You know, Backstrom, Carlson. The power play's still going to be lethal. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to hang around for a little bit. But, you know, a little bit of love to Ovechkin. Another 50-goal campaign. In my time watching hockey, the best goal scorer. And, you know, Matthews is very comparable. But, you know, this is just his first 50 campaign, right, at 58. So credit to Ovechkin. How about Connor McDavid? I'm not going to get into a rant again about the Hart Trophy. That would be 3 days in a row. But if you've been following along here on Mean Streets and doing these three stars, on Monday, it was Johnny Hockey. We talked about him maybe potentially being in the Hart conversation as a guy who has 108 points, 70 assists, just been a beast at 5-on-5. Then yesterday was Igor Shesterkin, my Hart pick, who had the shutout. We talked about him, whether he's going to be in the conversation for a Hart finalist. And then Connor McDavid, who had a goal. Luckily for us, he got a goal, empty net goal with 3 seconds left to get the 4 shots, which we gave on the show for a shot prop. So we did get a little bit lucky there. But he's been shooting the puck consistently and leads the NHL in points with 113. So again, I will ask you guys, who is left off for the Hart nomination? Who is left off? Is it the Art Ross leader, potentially, in McDavid, with 113 points, probably going to finish with .117, .118? Is he left off? Are you leaving off Huberto, who leads the NHL with 81 assists, broke an all-time record for the most assists ever from a left winger, passing Joey Juno? Is he left off? He's got 111 points. Is Johnny Hockey left off, who has 108 points, and the 5-on-5 numbers, what he's doing offensively at 5-on-5 hasn't been done in like 30-plus years? Leon Draisaitl is probably going to get left off, and he just has a cool 54 goals and 106 points. Is it Austin Matthews who's left off? I don't think so, right? We know what market we're in, and there's been a lot of talk about Matthews. His defensive game is certainly very, very strong, stronger than those other players that I mentioned. He's got 58 goals. Is it Igor Shesterkin, who has one of the better save percentages we've ever seen in the NHL, dating back to a long, long time? He's got back-to-back shutouts and 3 in his last 4 starts. Who is left off the list? There can only be 3 finalists. And again, I haven't seen a run like this in quite some time. And I will tell you, I don't know who the 3 finalists are going to be. I don't know. I think if I had to choose myself personally, it would be Shesterkin, Matthews. See, I don't know. I think Johnny Hockey. I think Johnny Hockey. But I can't believe I'd leave off Huberto. I can't believe I'd leave off McDavid. It's crazy to me. And the final star from last night was Shea Theodore. We had him 2.5 shots plus money in our FTM bet tracker. But if you haven't seen the goal that he scored last night in overtime, my goodness, so filthy. Little nasty toe drag in, backhand shelf was phenomenal. And Vegas is still alive here as they're fighting for their lives, their playoff lives. But Shea Theodore showed up in a big way yesterday. Let's transition into tonight. 11 games on the ice. So we'll start here with a couple NHL props. And in the next segment, I'll have some picks here for you. So some of these guys are usual suspects, but they've been so darn good to us. I think we just have to go back, don't we? How about Kevin Hayes? He's cleared 2.5 shots in 8 of his last 10 games. And those 8 games, he's had at least 4 shots. So he's clearing pretty consistently. You can get him at a price at -110 over at Natural Stat Trick. 5-5 numbers over the last 4 weeks of the season. The Montreal Canadiens have allowed the second most shot attempts at 5-5 per 60, and the third most shots, and overall the most shots allowed at 5-5 per 60. So a pretty good spot here for Kevin Hayes, who played a tougher team in his last game against the Maple Leafs and was able to put five pucks on net. Tyler Seguin, we had yesterday. I'm sometimes a little hesitant to go back to a guy, just the very next night on the second half of a back-to-back. Seguin and his Stars in Edmonton last night. One of the hardest back-to-backs to do is to go, into Calgary again the very next night and play that Flames team. I think is one of the best going in the NHL. But Tyler Seguin, I mentioned yesterday that he's turned back the clock a little bit. He's always known, in my opinion, as a volume shooter. A bit of a down year for him this season, but 2.5 shots, we're getting a decent price because of the back-to-back and because he's playing a Calgary team. I still like him. I still like Jason Robertson as well, who's on a heck of a run, but Seguin's got at least 3 shots in 6 straight games. If you watch Dangle Betselli, I think I gave 12 to 15 shot props, and I probably will have a lot in the FTM bet tracker as well, some assist props in there, some point props. But Seguin is one of those guys. I want to come at you with my favorites. Clearly, I do like Sam Bennett. He's a little juiced up. I do like Cole Caulfield. He's a little juiced up, but I think he put those guys into parlays. Jeff Skinner, I think as single bets, these guys are pretty good. Adrian Kempe, this may be the last time we get him at 2.5 shots. He's on a heck of a run as well. He's cleared in 7 of his past 8 and 8 of his last 10. And this is a matchup against the Chicago Blackhawks, who have allowed the most shots at 5-5 per 60, according to Natural Stat Trick, over the last 5 weeks of the season, and the third most shot attempts. This is a must-win game for Los Angeles. They are feeling Dallas. They are feeling Nashville. They are feeling Vegas. Even Vancouver right behind them. They're on home ice. Chicago just played last night, so the second half of a back-to-back. This benefits Kempe, or maybe not so much for Tyler Seguin, but I do like Adrian Kempe in there. His price may be getting a little crazy, like I said, if he gets up there around minus 155, minus 160, minus 170. It's a bit too much to take as a single. I would put him into a parlay. Maybe you can chuck him in there with a Bennett, a Cole Coffee, or any of the other guys that you saw in there for 2.5 shots. And then the bonus one, try to give a plus money play for the bonus. Yesterday, I believe we had Pacioretty, who didn't hit for us. He was stuck on 3, but the night before we had Duclair. The bonus today is Ricard Raquel at plus 115. A bit of a tough matchup against the Bruins. They're pretty stingy at 5-on-5, but Raquel has had at least 3 shots in 5 straight games, and he's up on that top line. He's playing on the first line with Sid the Kid. I'm still calling him Sid the Kid. Cole Harbour's own Sidney Crosby is also in play for 2.5 shots, and Jake Gensel's the other member on that first line. Brian Rust was playing there for a little bit. This is the final game of a 4-game suspension for Evgeny Malkin. And one thing I've noticed from Ricard Raquel over the past couple weeks, with the bump, of course, to the first line, you're going to get a little bit more ice time, but also getting some time on that first power play unit with Malkin no longer around. And with Rust off that first line, give him a little bit more balance. Raquel's looked pretty good. And one thing I do know about Crosby, even though I said he's in play at 2.5 shots, he's a pass-first guy, and he will look to you all the time, which does benefit Ricard Raquel. Just because, why not? I'm riding solo. You guys are hanging out here in the chat. A couple others that I like. So I mentioned Skinner, Bennett, Aho, Adam Fox. You may be able to get him 2.5 at plus 155, which we had the other night. He had 4 shots in that game. He's cleared 3 shots in 4 straight. I'm seeing right now 1.5. It's another guy that you can put into a parlay. William Nylander and Andrew Mangiapane's at 1.5 is another flame as well. Benny Ricciardi in the house. We love you, dude. Appreciate you. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and more hockey. Just going to take a look at the picks and the sides and a couple totals for you. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. A little bit more hockey talk for you guys. I see some people hanging out with us in the chat. Again, Dangle Betselli is live over at ftnbets.com and on our YouTube page, where Eric Young and I rolled through all the games, every single game, and gave our favorite picks and a play. So this is what I'm thinking just from a pick standpoint. And we just had the shot props in the last segment there. You see Alex Tuck on the board. I'm not leading with the Sabres, but I guess I am here in this segment. I like the Buffalo Sabres and what they've done lately. They have basically the identical record, hovering around 500 since they made that trade with Jack Eichel going to Vegas, and Alex Tuck, a hometown Buffalo Sabre guy, going the other way in that trade. The Sabres are playing the New Jersey Devils here today at plus 115. I really like the Sabre squad. Like I said, I think that they're playing pretty good hockey. They're getting decent goaltending, but even still, I do like that over. And New Jersey's just not getting the goaltending. And they can score. Even without Jack Hughes, they're still finding a way to you know, find some offense with Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt, Igor Sharangovichur, you know, a couple Devils players that I like could potentially hit the score sheet tonight. But it's all about that top line for me in Buffalo. I'm very, very impressed with Tage Thompson, with Alex Tuch, and with Jeff Skinner. Like, that's the trio that has been together since day one when Alex Tuch was traded over there. Tage Thompson is quietly has 36 goals and 27 points. He's a guy that's hit the score sheet in four straight games, and he's got points, actually, in 11 of his last 12. Like, and this guy has just been really, really good so far this season. And I think he hits the score sheet. He's plus 180 for an assist. Skinner's plus 176 for an assist. I think Skinner has the three shots. Maybe Tage finds the back of the net. Tuch gets a point in on that goal. And maybe potentially we can get the Skinner assist off a Tage Thompson goal. So the Sabres are in play for me at plus 115. They're kind of my dog. How about the St. Louis Blues against the San Jose Sharks? I don't know. Does this feel like a trap? Is this like a Colorado thing last night? You can get St. Louis to win in 60 at minus 120, which is probably the better bet, the safer bet. I like both of those, but plus 130 for one of the hottest teams going in the NHL right now. They got points in 10 straight games. Their 9-game winning streak was halted the last time out against the Boston Bruins. They lost in overtime. But that top line of Robert Thomas, Pavel Buchnevich, and Vladimir Tarasenko, I believe we talked about them on Tuesday, they're all riding massive, massive point streaks, all double-digit point streaks. Double-digit point streak, I think 14-game point streak for Robert Thomas. I think 11 or 12 for Pavel Buchnevich. And Tarasenko has just been filling the back of the net lately. That's a trio that's been really good. The Blues are scoring. So whether it's Huso or I suppose they'll go to they may go to Binnington to just give them a bit of a soft up against, you know, a layup against the San Jose Sharks. But again, I'll reference Natural Stat Trick at 5-5. The San Jose Sharks overall on the season, overall, not just the last 5 weeks. The last 5 weeks, they've given up the fifth most shot attempts and the seventh most shots. But overall on the season, top three in both statistics. High danger chances through the roof. Those are chances inside the slot area. The expected goals against inside the top 10 over the last 4 weeks as well. This is a team that has just struggled to keep the puck out of their net. And you know what? Brent Burns, I know Erik Karlsson isn't, you know, playing in this game, but those two guys have lost a step, clearly. So, like the Blues, like them in the puck line, like them to win in reg. I like the Flames to win in regulation here in 60 at minus 130 just to get, you know, some better odds. Even if it's not Markstrom, I'm still going to ride this pick. A really tough spot, like I said, for Dallas playing last night in Edmonton and losing that game. The Stars are not a great road team. In fact, they're in the bottom three in goals for at 5-5 per 60 away from Dallas United Center. So, or I think it's United Center, Chicago. American Airlines in Dallas. You should know this as a Mavs guy. But they just don't have the same sort of offense. Like Calgary, love them at home. Love the fact that they could roll four lines, strong on defense. Again, if it's not Markstrom, I still think it's a fine play. I will still back it personally myself. And Dallas is just really a one-line team with a little bit of offensive punch lately from Tyler Seguin. At least he's shooting the puck, and that's what we hope that he does tonight with Jason Robertson. But I do like the Flames. And I had the over there in the Buffalo and New Jersey game. George is going to mess with the odds and take over four. That's fine. If you want to put it into a parlay, that's great. You may want to do the opposite with this Islanders and Rangers game, maybe under 6.5 or under 6 in there. The Islanders don't have a ton of offense. They have been giving up a ton of rubber, the most shot attempts at 5-5 per 60 over the last 4 weeks of the season, according to Natural Stat Trick, and the fourth most shots. But Ilya Sorokin has been absolutely lights out. We are getting two of the best goalies going tonight. I do believe nothing is confirmed yet. I think the Rangers may cool it off. You know, they may just say, we're locked into a playoff spot. Igor Shesterkin is first in the Metro worth. Is it worth it to roll with Igor Shesterkin nonstop down the stretch? So keep an eye on that. If it's not Shesterkin, I still feel pretty confident about Georgiev. If he's between the pipes, the last time we saw him, he had a shutout. So it's possible that they will go away from Shesterkin and go with Georgiev. The Islanders don't really have a choice. I think Varlamov's hurt. So both of those guys, amazing this season. And the Islanders have played just so much hockey lately. I think you could take the Rangers and the under, and that's a play that could work out with you. The Islanders have played more hockey than anybody over the last 6 weeks. They started off the season with 13 games in a row on the road. They battled through some injuries. COVID ran through their team, and they had to just, you know, make up a lot of games. So for both of those goalies, if those guys are going, and the Rangers do have something to play for, right? Just to rest Shesterkin would be really just long term. You know what I mean? Thinking about saving his legs for a playoff run. Markstrom's confirmed, by the way, I saw it. So Shesterkin's got the 936 save percentage, and Sorokin's got a 927 save percentage. Between them, they have 13 shutouts and over 60 wins. So they've both been really good. It's not Sorokin's fault. They're not going to fight for a playoff spot. But the Rangers are tied with the Hurricanes for first in the Metro. So that's why there's a lot on the line when it comes to the Rangers winning games. Other picks that I liked, why not, right? I try to give my best, you know, on the board for you guys. Florida is really juiced to win by a couple goals, but I think if you put them into a parlay, they just beat up on Detroit the other night. They're not going to lose to the Red Wings here tonight on home ice. They've been so good this season. No Dylan Larkin. They haven't been getting the goaltending Detroit. So even if it's Spencer Knight, they just went into Detroit and won 5-1, 6-1 with Spencer Knight. I think Bobrovsky will get the call. I like the Leafs too. The Leafs are not on that board, but man, they've been playing really good hockey. 15 games with Mark Giordano in the lineup, and they've only lost three of those games. Auston Matthews is making the two-game road trip. I'm not sure if he's going to suit up, but they've been beating up on some really good teams. They beat up on Tampa on the back. They played Tampa and then Florida the next, or they played Florida. I think it was Tampa and Florida the next night. Either war, it was one of the two. They beat up on Tampa. They let a lead get away from for the Panthers, but they still were able to push that game to overtime. They spanked Washington the other day. I'm not going to lie, man. Really kind of feeling this Leafs team right now, and it's a little uneasy in my stomach. I don't like to say it, but they're playing pretty good hockey at the right time. And I do like the pickup from Giordano. It's given them some stability on the blue line, which is something that they absolutely needed. Last year, they were picking up some pieces like Nick Foligno and giving up a first for Foligno. That's not what they need. They can score goals. They can skate with anybody. They can skate with Florida and score just as much as Florida. I truly believe that. Playoffs is a different beast, but they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the league. What they needed was some stability on the blue line, and I think they got that with Mark Giordano. He's a couple of years removed from winning the Norris. He's lost a lot of foot speed, but he's experienced. He's got a good first pass. He blocks a lot of shots. He's physical. It's exactly what they need, and you're seeing a really, really strong Leafs team right now. So I do like the Leafs as well, and I like Minnesota at home. And I know the Canucks fans are going to be like, no, Vancouver, I'm rooting for the Canucks. The record is phenomenal with Bruce Boudreau. 30 wins, I think 12 and 9 with Bruce. They're playing at like a 96 point pace with Boudreau, and the Canucks are riding hot, and they got a lot to play for. But so do the Wild. They're tied with St. Louis for second in the Central, and they want. They're already going to play St. Louis in the first round, but it is significant for them and the Blues to get home ice. So I still think Minnesota's got a lot to play for, and Fleury should get the call for the Wild. All right, quick break, and we're going to hit the hard court. We got some NBA stuff to talk about. There's three games in the association. We got the Warriors and the Nuggets. That series is 2-0. We got the Mavericks. Not sure about Luka. I don't think he's going to play. It looks like he's close to maybe making his appearance in this series against the Jazz, but that series shifting to Utah. And then we have another game as well that is slipping. Oh, yeah, Memphis and Minnesota. Slipped my mind, but we'll talk about that one, and we'll have a couple props for you as well. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. Chris Meany here with you live at Game Plus Network. You're watching Mean Streets. Going to turn our attention to the hard court. A tough game last night for the Raptors again. They're officially done. You know, lost last night in overtime. Some phantom calls, I think, on Embiid. I'm not a fan, so I don't want to hear you guys say that I'm acting like a sour Raptors fan. I'm not. I watched that game last night. Embiid just gets everything, I think, and, you know, some controversy there with the timeout call and Doc Rivers crossing center court. Like, they don't call that stuff, but honestly, by the rule, it probably should have been called. You know, he can't be crossing like that. He just crossed the whole court onto the court calling timeout. But, you know, it does look like the 76ers are going to... maybe Shaq was right. They're going to sweep them. They might sweep them. I think the Raptors may get one, but they're not in action tonight. So we'll take a look at these three games of the teams that are in action this evening. So Memphis, 2-point favorites here against Minnesota as the series is tied at one and it shifts over to Minnesota. I like the Grizzlies here. I talked about this in game two, maybe just the first game. It was new to a lot of players, certainly Ja. Maybe there's some nerves in there. They are a better team than Minnesota. I do like the Timberwolves. Like, they do have, you know, some offense. They got some really good players in there, and, you know, I was really impressed with them in game one. They got smacked in the mouth in game two, which I think a lot of us saw coming. just on the home court after being down in the 1-0 in the series for Memphis. But I, you know, 2-point spread here, even on the road, I like it. There's not a lot of props that are actually standing out to me from this game, but I think my favorite play from this game is just to take Memphis to win by two here. You know, they kind of spread out their offense after Ja, like Ja's the guy, but I mean, it's just his point props are just too high for me to attack. But there are some other things that I like here in the Golden State Warriors game. And we have, that one's at the bottom there as that series does shift over to Denver. Golden State Warriors look like the Warriors of a couple of years ago, right? They just look unstoppable with Clay and with Curry, and Poole looks great. And for Curry, we didn't give it on the show, but we had it in the FTN bet tracker. Over 3.5 threes was +145. Over 3.5 threes today for Steph Curry, again, using our free prop shop and parlay calculator, is -105. But it's still at 3.5. And that's a number that I want to get behind. Now, he hasn't played a whole lot in these first two games. 22 minutes in the first game. He was 3-for-6 from beyond the arc. He had 16 points. He was 5-for-13 overall shooting. And then in the second game, he played 23 minutes. He was 12-for-17 from the floor, 5-for-10 from beyond the arc, 34 points in just 23 minutes. So is he going to play around that 23, 24-minute mark? I would imagine he could play a little bit more, but those first couple of games were blowouts, 123-107, 126-106. I would expect a much better effort from Denver. Joker's on triple-double watch. He's going to have to do everything that he can. But the Warriors are playing such good basketball right now. They're coming in a little bit healthier with Clay and with Curry. I like them. And with Booker most likely, you know, done at least for game 3 and 4 for Phoenix, the Suns are in trouble. The Pelicans could certainly win that series. We can talk about that game tomorrow. But I think the Warriors are the team to beat now, and you can get them at 6-1 to win the championship. We did give 9-1 on this show to win the championship. We'll see if it happens. But yeah, right now they're healthy. I was looking at Jordan Poole over 2.5 threes is pretty, you know, juiced up at -155. I think I'm just going to take Steph over 3.5 threes at -105. Like I said, I think we'll see a little bit more playing time from him. And then the final game here, Dallas and Utah, as the series shifts to Utah. The Jazz are, I think, in my opinion, a much better team at home over the past couple of years. It's been a tough environment for teams to go in to Utah and play. I'm not really seeing anything for Luka just yet. There was reports yesterday that it's possible he could return for game 3 and 4. I think with Dallas winning game 2 and the comeback win, they can afford maybe to just sit him out in this game. They clearly need him if they want to go on a run and beat the Jazz here. But Jalen Brunson was really, really strong in that game. I'm looking at his 3 prop at 2.5 at +135. Now, I don't think he's going to have the same sort of game that he had last time. I mean, it was a phenomenal game. In 42 minutes, he had 41 points. But he jacked up 10 shots from beyond the arc, and he made 6 of them. So I don't think he's going to jack up 10 from beyond the arc. He's certainly feeling it, but I could see him maybe 4 or 5 from beyond the arc. He's a really good shooter. I mean, he's got 65 points here in the two games. When Luka's off the floor, his usage rate is extremely high, and you know the ball's in his hands, and he's the guy that's you know, distributing the offense. 24-7-5, 41-8-5. The fives are the assists, the 10 dimes in the two games. I like his 3 prop at over 2.5 at +135. But the guys to target are the Utah guys. Donovan Mitchell is just absolutely unstoppable. I'm seeing his point prop at 28.5 for Donovan Mitchell here. 32 points in game 1, 34 points in game 2. And you know what is key for me is the shots that he's jacking up. 29 shots in game 1 and 30 shots in game 2. So if this guy is going to shoot the ball 30 times, he's probably going to get to the free throw line anywhere from 5 to 7 times. He's got 16 shots jacked from beyond the arc as well in those two games. So 28.5 is just too low. Donovan Mitchell is awesome. I don't feel like people give him enough respect. He's phenomenal. Maybe it's because he's a member of the Utah Jazz. I don't know what it is. Like, nobody ever wants to play him in DFS. Nobody ever talks about him as a prop play. But man, playoff time, ball's going to be in his hands. He's been great in the playoffs for the past couple years. I think his coming out party was in the bubble. And then Bojan Bogdanovic is another guy as well. His point prop is at 21.5 plus money, 26 points and 25 points in each of the first two games. Also a guy not shooting as much as Mitchell. 11-for-20 from the floor in game 1 and 9-for-15 in game 2. I believe he's number 2, the second guy to go to in the offense. I was considering giving the over 2.5 threes plus money, but he's only nailed 3 of his 10 shots from beyond the arc. But I do like the 21.5. I think Mitchell 28.5, Bogdanovic 21.5, Jalen Brunson over 2.5 threes, Steph Curry over 3.5 threes. Warriors win again. I think the Warriors cover. I think the Jazz cover, and I think the Grizzlies cover as well. Good luck in the hard court. We're going to wrap up the show with a couple thoughts from Peter Schrager of NFL Network. We're going to take a look at his 2.0 NFL mock round one and take a look at the skilled players that will probably go in round one. Peter's that sharp. One more segment here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. We're going to wrap up with a few NFL thoughts. So Peter Schrager is well known, of course, over at NFL Network. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's great on Good Morning Football. I think he's extremely intelligent, and he's good for a few laughs as well. And I noticed he released his NFL Mock Draft 2.0 2 days ago after, you know, the trade with the Eagles and the Saints, and then also the Chiefs making the trade to Miami. Miami moving another first-round pick. So I just wanted to focus in on some of the skilled players. So we had Kenny Pickett as the first quarterback off the board. Sam Darnold, it's not really working out for you in Carolina. Rhule is going to have to figure it out. I mean, he's only got so many lives there, I think. But I do believe Pickett. I do believe Carolina will take a quarterback, whether it's Pickett or not. I think they will take a quarterback, and I don't think Pickett is ready to be, you know, a real fantasy quarterback in year one, or just a real NFL quarterback in year one. I think he would play behind Sam Darnold, and maybe over time he would take that job. Jameson Williams at Alabama, of course, he's going to miss some time there, but to the Jets, you know, not quite there, but have built up over the past couple of years. I've really liked some of their pieces in their draft, so getting better and better. That would be a nice wide receiver to pair with Elijah Moore for the future. Garrett Wilson in there to Washington, something clearly the Commanders do need another wide receiver weapon. I would love Drake London in Philly. I don't want to talk about his combine stuff. This guy's an absolute baller. I would love that pick for the Eagles. You got Treylon Burks in there, so a couple wide receivers off the board. I don't think the Saints go wide receiver. I feel like they made that trade with the Eagles to take a quarterback. I really do feel like they're going to take a quarterback. Malik Willis has been linked to Pittsburgh for quite some time. Now, I do think he would be a year one starter, and I think he would offer a lot from a fantasy standpoint. Dual threat, he can run around with his legs. So, you know, out of Liberty, I think if he went to Pittsburgh, I think he could win that job. Who's there? Trubisky? Come on. I think he could take that job potentially. So you got Dotson there as another wide receiver. Green Bay, certainly, right? They got to take a wide receiver. Also, Deebo Samuel yesterday requested a trade. We can talk about that on another time. Breece Hall is the guy I've really wanted to focus in on. I do like the landing spot to Buffalo. They're loaded defensively. We know that they're loaded offensively with weapons, and Josh Allen's a beast. Everybody in the AFC, all they have done in the offseason is just upgrade, right? The Chargers upgrading, actually, their defense, but their offense is going to be great. Chiefs maybe a bit of a step back with Hill, but they did get Juju. Still going to be great offensively. Denver's upgraded. A lot of teams have upgraded in the AFC, a ton of them. What do the Bills need? A true three-down running back in Breece Hall, over 1,700 yards last season, is a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Singletary is just not the answer. No, Josh Allen, you know, runs around, and he's the true running back on the team and, you know, gets all the red zone touches, especially inside the five. If you want to protect Josh Allen, he's a franchise quarterback and he's an absolute baller, get him a running back. That guy should not be running the ball in at the five. And I know you have Allen on your dynasty teams and stuff like that, but you know, you do need yourself a running back. And by yourself, I'm talking to Buffalo Bills. And then you got Coral in there for Detroit, getting that first-round pick from the Rams, replacing Matthew Stafford. All right, we're out of here. We'll talk more football next week. We'll do a live mock draft on the show. Good luck on the ice, hard court, around the diamond, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.